Welcome back to the Regulation Asia podcast. I'm Nick Wakefield, co-founder of Regulation Asia. This is the final podcast of this special series in partnership with Swift. I'll pass you over to Brad McLean. He's the co-founder of Regulation Asia, and he sat down with Julie Bolan, Head of Business Innovation, Oceania at Swift.
Hello and welcome. My name is Brad McLean, co-founder of Regulation Asia. So today we're here to discuss the power of collaborative innovation in financial services, and I'm lucky to have the lovely Julie Bolan, Head of Business Innovation, Oceania for Swift, here today to talk all things about collaborative innovation. So I guess as a starting point, this is something Swift has been alluding to on a number of occasions. So I guess, and apologies for the silly question, but what exactly is collaborative innovation? Why is collaboration so important within, you know, the financial services community?
Well, with the new technologies and those rapidly evolving customer expectations that are really challenging the financial institution business models, it's really clear that individual institutions can't develop, I guess, what we would call tomorrow's infrastructure and systems and services in isolation. So what Swift has been doing is playing that central role in bringing financial institutions together to establish, I guess, what we would call the new norm. And what we're looking to do is for the community raise that industry baseline. And we do that through that industry-wide collaboration. And we've been able to develop solutions that help our community mutualize costs and drive that even greater change, we think, than individual institutions could do alone. So I guess in summary, really, you know, collaborative innovation is bringing our financial services community together with Swift at the center to collaborate and co-create that really raises that industry baseline.
So it's interesting. You've mentioned the new norm and in isolation. I mean, there probably would be no better way to surmise the past 20 months. I mean, COVID, I think, and you feel free to disagree, has acted as a catalyst for digitalization. And as the world inches closer to post-pandemic recovery, how has the pandemic changed the way financial services industry collaborates? And more importantly, are there any lessons that we can take from the pandemic?
Look, I would have to agree that the pandemic has just about upended nearly every aspect of business and life, and the way that we interact with each other and with customers, and how customers choose what they purchase, you know, how they shop, the services they might want to interact with, and those supply chains that deliver these goods. I guess it's really highlighted just how interconnected our world is. And more importantly, it's created some significant new opportunities. I guess we would say there's never been a better time to collaborate. And one area of opportunity that we've been looking into is central bank digital currencies, CBDCs for short. We've seen that the pandemic has accelerated the development of CBDCs, and that's because millions of people worldwide are turning to cashless payments. Of course, if you think about that, that's the only way we could really, you know, procure goods during COVID. And today, more than half of the world's central banks are actively exploring the use of CBDCs. And Swift released a white paper recently that looked into how we could make CBDCs work for international payments. And in collaboration again with the Swift community, we intend to explore our role, how we could play in this space further, both as a carrier of authenticated information, which is really important, and the same way that we play that role today for fiat currencies, and of course as a carrier of actual central bank digital value in whatever form that it's issued.
Now, as I understand, that bit of research is a couple of months old, but we're actually going to leave a link below in the description as well, because I think it's incredibly, you know, interesting and relevant given a lot of the developments that are happening today. But What I'm hearing here is that it sounds interesting, challenging, I guess, the innovation from the perspective of innovation for the sake of innovation versus what's driven from the customer. So, Julie, from your perspective, what are the biggest success factors for collaborative innovation in today's landscape? And how much of this is actually driven from the customer's perspective?
Well, one of the things that we learned from our study of central bank digital currencies is that interoperability is really the key to success. It really applies to nearly all aspects of financial services. We don't think reinventing the wheel is always the solution. And so at Swift, we're taking a pragmatic approach, and that is to really look at how we can combine new solutions or new capabilities like central bank digital currency with existing infrastructure to help us derive that maximum benefit. Another example that I can give is through Swift GPI. That stands for Global Payment Innovation. And through a common service level agreement that all participating banks are adhering to, GPI actually builds on the existing Swift rails. And what it does, it's bringing that seamless, full traceability, full trackability, and that speed to cross-border transactions. If you think about that DHL experience, that's what GPI is really applying for cross-border transactions. Of course, you know, it's imperative that you really understand your customer too. You really need to understand who is impacted by the problem and how your solution is going to make a difference to them. So successful innovation requires a lot of different things to work. You need a strong cross-functional team of the right people. Of course, you need executive buy-in, and you need the budget and a path to production. Look, there's no point in finalizing your innovation plan only to discover that your product delivery team doesn't have capacity because they've got too much on their plate.
Okay, so I mean, that all makes perfect sense to me, but do you have any recent examples, I guess, of successful collaborations across the financial services community?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, for Swift, establishing the right collaboration models within the banking community has been essential for the industry to reach where it is today. We recently launched Swift Go. It's a transformative new service that was developed in partnership with the global Swift community, so a broad number of different global banks. And what it is, it's financial institutions enabling their small to medium business and their retail customers to send predictable, fast, highly secure, and most importantly, competitively priced low-value cross-border payments. It actually builds on the high-speed rails of Swift GPI that we spoke about a little bit earlier. But what it does, it uses tighter service levels, and it really also makes sure that we're pre-validating this information up front in the customer channel. And we're showing the customer visibility on their processing time and their cost. And that's key to those particular consumer and small to medium business customer segments.
So that makes perfect sense. But I mean, is there anything closer to home?
Look, absolutely. An initiative that we worked on with 60 financial institutions in Japan was our GPI case resolution solution. What we do there is that we have enabled a new user interface into our existing Swift connectivity. And this tool is allowing the community to really streamline their service levels across investigations and exceptions with other correspondent banks across the globe. So it's making the resolution of customer exception and investigations faster and more efficient. Of course, innovating successfully really takes a lot of time and effort, and it requires that coordination for everyone to be pointed in the same direction. But the really important payoff here is that great successful collaboration allows us to bring a product to market much faster and to create something with some part of our community that can then be scaled up to benefit the broader community, but we still can allow other institutions who want to evolve at their own pace.
So SwiftGo and SwiftGPI, they're all about today. Let's start to look to tomorrow. I mean, when you look into your crystal ball towards the future, what do you see are the next big opportunities for collaborative innovation in financial services?
Our vision for cross-border payments is one that is seamless and convenient as domestic ones. We also want to make sure that cross-border payments are instant, accessible, and ubiquitous. So the next 2 years are actually really exciting. And we're launching SWIFT's next generation platform. As a payments geek, I'm so excited about this platform. We're going to enhance our platform, which will be driven by smart data, and it's going to transform the world of payments and securities by helping us to facilitate that instant and frictionless cross-border transaction that we're looking for. It also really offers a huge opportunity for partnerships and collaboration through the use of APIs and cloud technology. So what we're doing is we're developing a common set of services with our customers to help reduce that cost and the risk of innovating. And it's, of course, those services that have traditionally been invested in by institutions individually. Some of those financial crime compliance services or the case resolution services that we spoke about previously. Of course, on top of this, we're encouraging our customers to co-create new products with us. What we want to do is spur on the overall level of service that we can offer to our end customers. And of course, you know, fully harnessing the power of APIs is another huge opportunity. APIs allow different platforms to talk to each other, and they facilitate the creation of new products and services. And most fintechs and organizations use that through the secure and open exchange of data.
So I wanted to shift the conversation, you know, just for a moment to smart data. As I understand, and please correct me if I'm wrong, you know, this is an incredibly important driver behind a lot of your innovation. But and apologies for the silly question, but what is the importance of data in payments, and why is this switch to the new, you know, standard ISO 20022 so significant?
Look, data is fast becoming a crucial enabler of faster and more frictionless cross-border payments. As payments become more commoditized, the ability to tap into the data that accompanies payments is becoming increasingly more important for compliance and reconciliation, and of course also innovation. There is, you know, really views out there that, you know, data is the next frontier. Of course, ISO 20022 is an emerging global and open standard for payment messaging. And what it does, it creates a common language and a model for payments data across the globe. This standard creates higher quality data than other standards, and it means that there's interoperability and a higher quality for all. ISO 20022 is also flexible enough to adapt to the new needs and the new approaches that are required in the future, and it's easily used by anyone in the industry and implemented on any network.
So, okay, you've mentioned adapting to new needs and new approaches, but, you know, what role does data play in payments and securities? And I guess more broadly, you know, SWIFT's new strategy, how is it part of this overall revolution?
The global payments industry is just changing so fast. There are new technologies coupled with business innovation that are reducing friction and increasing speed at which money moves across borders. So the next step change in this evolution is definitely going to come from enabling rich, quality data end-to-end across the ecosystem. At SWIFT, we're working towards a November 2025 timeline for full ISO 20022 enablement across our community. And to help us achieve it, we're actually transforming the SWIFT platform based on the concept of transaction management. What that means is it's a new approach that's going to put business transactions at the center. And our transaction manager will provide a set of common transaction processing services, such as pre-validation, which is really validating essential data at origination. So at the customer's, you know, mobile banking or online banking channels. We're also going to enable sanction screening, fraud detection, and data analytics. And of course, transaction tracking, GPI, will absolutely be integrated into the platform, and exceptions case management, which I spoke a little bit about earlier on. What that does, it mutualizes the capabilities that today are typically provided by and invested in by each individual financial institution. And of course, by bringing together all of these common services, we aim to significantly improve that end-to-end efficiency and reduce those total costs while bringing in that new business value for our end customers with faster, more reliable transactions and better, richer data.
Okay then. So then what does this increased focus on data mean ultimately for financial institutions or customers?
So compared with existing MT messaging, ISO 20022 actually allows for 10 times more information to be sent with a payment. And through this new standardized messaging format, the migration really helps to reduce the amount of manual intervention needed for cross-border payments and also enable that faster reconciliation for those end customers. Another challenge that richer data is expected to help address is within the compliance space, in particular around anti-money laundering and sanctions screening. Of course, we all know that compliance requirements internationally have gone up over the years and that the old MT data set doesn't quite have the room for the data that's required. So in order to satisfy, you know, these new compliance concerns, more information is required, and ISO 20022 is really the way that we can start to help deliver that information with much less friction. On the corporate front, ISO 20022 is going to open new doors for corporate clients in terms of that easier reconciliation and that better information about payment invoices and more information about the trade or the background data that's involved. And that's really going to lead to valuable cost savings in the long run.
And with that, unfortunately, we're out of time. I wanted to thank Julie Boland, Head of Business Innovation, Oceana SWIFT, for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Brad. It was great to be here.
Now, today we've talked about the benefits and challenges of collaborative innovation, as well as some of the issues in migrating to the new ISO 22 standard. By all accounts, the net result and global adoption of the new standard is expected to be positive, as we've heard today, with improved speed, accuracy, and user experience at a lower cost. However, getting to that point will be proven to take time, be complicated and fraught with challenges for banks, given the considerable scale of transformation required and the significant investment needed across payment chains end to end. I guess only time will tell. Thank you for everyone for joining our discussion. We look forward to speaking with you again soon. Thank you and goodbye.
So that's it for this special series. I would like to thank SWIFT for partnering with us on this. Make sure you subscribe on your favorite listening service, including Apple iTunes, Spotify, and more, so you can be sure to receive updates on our next series and other podcasts being hosted by Regulation Asia. For now, though, thanks for listening and goodbye.